Now, we have a guest questioner who just stepped into the audience, into the room here with an audience, because we have a lot of people, room here. My colleague, Robert Knight, and he has a question.
Well, for those who know me, it's hard for me to be humbled, but that's exactly what I feel listening to you.
No, Robert, no, there is no humble here. Everybody has to do his own work. You are doing a magnificent work here. And I was just hearing you. It's magnificent, and you come with all our support.
And yet I'm proud, because we have fought as journalists in the same war. I have sat down with the councils of Cali. I have had the fortune working with Paul, a program we have called Contragate Undercurrents. We had the honor, of being called the most decrepit kind of journalists, weaving a complete fantasy in regard to the cocaine wars in this hemisphere, for our original reporting that would later be recapitulated, rightfully so, and very well done with Gary Webb.
And when it was brought up during the hearings, remember, they went into executive session, mm-hmm. and we never got to hear the testimony about exactly what we're talking about.
Listening to you hearings. As I took a walk, I recalled several things. Drug wars and national policy. During the Afghanistan war, for the very first time in the history of the Islamic Republic of Iran, people were executed for heroin possession and sale. It's a very strict country. That had not happened before. That came because of their conflict with the Soviet Union, the occupation of Afghanistan, the guerrilla movement, the transport of weapons in exchange for drugs was the policy that caused that to happen. The same thing happened in Russia. In the case of Vietnam, we have to be careful how we speak.
They're not
the
my
troops of the United States. I do not command one battalion.
We sent our troops in.
And that's an issue of journalism, too, isn't it?
Yes.
The troops of the United States were part of the pipeline, the exchange. It's almost like the veins and arteries of a body. Weapons go out, drugs come in. Heroin during the 1960s in the United States were directly tied to the foreign combats of the United States in Southeast Asia. In this hemisphere, the cocaine wars were operated by the National Security Council, Central Intelligence Agency. They, too, became tainted. They sought to seek economic control of the trade, but they became infected with it. And did dirty deals.
There's just so much money.
What happens? And have you thought about what happens to the watchers? What happens to the people who are supposed to be representing the people when they become seduced by the pleasure and glamour and finance? And what effect does that have domestically? In Mexico, is there a similar pattern? I'm just wondering what your thoughts are systemically about all of that.
First, I want to tell you this, Robert, and Bob, and Paul, and Joanne. They say decrepital, they call you, huh?
Decrepit.
Decrepit.
Decrepit journalist.
Decrepit. Let me tell you, that's an honor. That's an honor. They call me, I wrote it, species in extinction.
Oh! You dead now?
Yes. So that doesn't have to. Well, let's talk the serious thing. You are saying what happens with people that get involved and tainted in countries like Mexico. There are two types, Robert. One you have to understand that commander-in-chief of the all forces in Mexico, as in the United States, I believe, is the president of the United States. The orders are not to be discussed, but to be accomplished and taken care of. When you, the United States government, for example, let's say in a corridor from Quintana Roo to Texas.
Quintana Roo is a state in Yucatan.
Southeastern part of Mexico, close and next to Yucatan. The cocaine, for example, that comes from Colombia will get into Quintana Roo. Now, the American CIA, Drugs Enforcement Agency, and all those collaterals tell the Mexican government which route the drug movement has to take. Let's suppose it passes to four, five states of Mexican Republic. The CIA and the drug and the DEA know every political government deputy, senator, military person, police person, federal police person, everyone vinculated to the security of each state. They know who, by names, family, habits, everything they know. The first person that decides to denounce the drug movement in Mexico, immediately he will be accused of drug, of being a member of the cartel, of being involved with the drug movement. And it's really easy to do that. You start those campaigns in the United States. The CIA and the Drug Enforcement Agency controls many newspaper men, many columnists, many bureau of agency and big newspapers in Latin America, and they tell them, this is a narcotic man. Denounce him. And he is really in that movement because he receives the order to do that. But do you have peasants in Mexico being involved with drugs? No, they don't consume drugs. Mexico is not a consumer of drugs. The duty of the Mexican government, the order he has received, is to deliver the cocaine clear of all problems to the American frontier. So if you decide to denounce that as a member of that government, the Mexican government, you are accused of being a drug dealer. And that's why when you are a journalist, you have to become a man in extinction, or you have to be a, how you call that?
Decrepit.
That because you are not receiving any benefits for that. They think you are crazy.
Right.
And they have to take to ask you whether you are, why have they not killed Mario Menendez?
Yeah. That's what I
want to
know.
Well, I will answer this.
Do you get threats?
Yeah. Not threats. They tried to kill me many times.
I'd like to know that
people
secret.
People died. But you see, this is very, very, very difficult to explain and to understand. We were educated in my family. My father was very strict, and my grandfather was too much of a strict. We were taught never to cry, just fight back. That's our law. They tried to kill me, I denounced them, but I don't have no echo. That's why I am deeply appreciative.
Appreciative.
With Al Giordano. because these were the few newspaper men that were in Mexico that understood what we were doing.
And you had a radio station, too.
We need, and right now I'm having this support, the law school of Columbia University. I'm very grateful.
I'm going to go and listen some more, but I'll just take from that.
Robert, let me tell you this one thing to answer, because I'm very enthusiastic with the work you're doing here. When you want to know what kind of a journalist you have in front of you in Mexico, you have to ask yourself the first question. What kind of a life he has? Mm-hmm. How does he live?
Right.
Who are his friends? And now let me tell you, I've been the editor-in-chief and director of the biggest newspaper in Yucatan, of the biggest magazine in the history of Mexico. I've been editor of 3 magazines and director. I don't have a square meter in Cancun, for example. I don't have a yacht.
Oh, I've heard that rule. Follow the money.
That's correct.
All right. Well, I thank you for your wisdom, everybody's presence, Columbia University.
Again, come hear more of Al Giordano and Mario Menendez at the law school Saturday, the Latino Symposium, 3 to 5, between 116th and 115th on Amsterdam Avenue, room 107. Everyone's welcome. It's free of charge. This just gets better and better.
Paul, Joni, thank you for the time. Right. And as go back to thanks listen some more, I can only conclude then from the specificity of your understanding of how correct routes of entry are arranged by the corrupt protectors of a nation, I can only conclude that earlier tonight in the Bronx, they shot the wrong people.
Good night.
Good night, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Right. You know, and these things that my favorite philosophy graduate is saying here, that Mario Menendez is saying, is that these are not invented. He has published the photos. He has published the eyewitnesses. He has published the testimony. In his three-part series, there were 40 different photos proving this. This and the photos don't lie. So he has broken ground in the field of drug policy, and United States-Mexican correspondents don't touch it. This was a very interesting topic of Cynthia Kotz's Press Clips column last week's Village Voice
last week.
About how Sam Dillon, the bought and paid for New York Times columnist and bureau chief in Mexico City, not only did not report this, but knew the facts and decided to cover it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, Al Giordano, we're going to take a brief break. Our number is 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls to speak with Mario Menendez, the editor of Por Esto from the Yucatan, talking about the drug war in Mexico. Again, our number, 212-209-2900. Call us up, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
No Mas even crew, as we try to stay alive, we bring you Culture, New Tunes, Gunpowder Massive, Old Gun Pun Safety, Naya Bingy Drums, where it all started, another level.
I asked my mother, why do you cry? She said, your brother, he just died. Well, I told him not to go outside. He said he had to fight for his country's rights. But don't you know that my mother, don't you know that we can't stop the violence? No, because the war is not over until you can feel love, peace, and hear silence. But I smell gunpowder. My brother's been dead ever since.
I didn't believe it, but when I saw him, I was convinced. Two shots to the head, he was already dead. Lord, I headed for revenge in the city of Port-au-Prince, screaming, brother. I smell gunpowder, Zaire's gunpowder, LA's gunpowder. I wanna know why Christians pray. Yeah, we don't need no, we don't need no, we don't need no. But it's still the same way. I wanna know why ghetto people pray.
And gentlemen of the jury, I'm not going to sit here and bore you with a long, drawn-out story or excuse of why I think Wyclef is guilty. I'm going to stand by the exhibits as well as the tapes and songs such as Jeopardy, Till November, All the Girls, and Bubble Goose, which stand side by side with my allegations. I rest my case.
Okay. Liz! And gentlemen of the jury, as you can see, nothing has been proven here today. These witnesses they brought here do not have evidence to incriminate my clientele. If he's not guilty, he's innocent. If he's not detrimental to the society, therefore he's positive. As I said before, this case is pure bishop.
Oh, the heart does. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, I've been meaning to ask this the whole time. Who the hell is Bishop?
Eh?
And why hasn't he been brought on the stand?
Bishop, not true, false. Bishop!
Oh, bullshit.
Oui.
Community residents once again took to the streets today to protest the latest police killing. This time, the shooting death of African immigrant Amadou Diallo, who died in a hail of 41
relatives. Turns out today for the funeral of William Whitfield, shot to death on Christmas Day by New York City police. The unarmed Whitfield was shot to death.
Heaven, can't you see? Look into the streets.